a lot of what I think leads to success is really that discipline and consistency of continuing to show up and do the work. You know, that's kind of a baseline. The other piece of it is really about like leveraging your successes that you have, those projects that are proof points that do demonstrate what you're great at and what you can be great at. Like it's those things that you've done that demonstrate your future possibility, like really leveraging those well. The other piece is really good networking. I am a relationships person. I care about people. I love nurturing relationships. And so along all of these different periods of my life, I have really focused on not relationship building, like networking for personal gain per se, but really forming relationships with people where we can mutually support each other, where we can help each other achieve the goals that the other person has. Welcome to Beyond Better, a podcast that explores a simple but profound idea. We all deserve to live lives we love, and that includes our work lives too. I'm your host, Stacey Ennis, an author, book coach, speaker, and longtime location-independent entrepreneur living in Portugal with my family of four. Years ago, I was living in Idaho and dreaming of more for my life. And today, I am living a life of my own design. Join me as I talk business, location independence, writing, publishing, and so much more. All focused on building a life that is beyond better. If you're an aspiring nonfiction author, I would love to help you write your book. I help authors, aspiring authors just like you, go from idea to draft. I do this through consulting, one-on-one coaching, and group programs. If you are ready to get serious about finally writing that book that's been on your heart, on your mind, and probably has some kind of integration into your business, your brand, or your broader impact, I would love to connect with you. Just reach out to me at hello@stacyennis.com and we will have a conversation about your book, your big vision, and how I can help you. Welcome, welcome. I'm coming to you from a very moody, rainy day here in southern Portugal. I got a message on my phone yesterday from the government warning of heavy winds and rain, which has never happened before. And sure enough, it is very windy today, very rainy. It's just the perfect weather to record a podcast episode for you. Today, I'm going to answer a listener question, one question, because I actually saw another question that was very similar to this question. And I'm going to do a little bit of a shorter episode. So I would love to hear from you to know if you like these shorter format episodes. I'm kind of trying to balance between longer format with guests, sometimes longer deep dives with just myself, and then some of these shorter episodes where they're a little bit more targeted, a little bit more like a quick listen. So curious to know your thoughts. And if you like it, feel free to drop me a note, hello@stacyennis.com, or leave me a 5-star review and tell me what you think about these shorter episodes. Also, if you have a name suggestion for them, I was like trying to think of something fun to call these shorter episodes. I would love your ideas. So let me give you the question that I am going to be answering today. This question is from Jeff. Jeff asks, I would love to know more about how you went from starting out on ghostwriting to the level you are at today. I'm a few years into ghostwriting right now and looking to get to that next level with customers. I'm finding it hard to get at the level of best-selling authors without having that bestseller yet. Seems like a catch-22. Thanks so much. I really like this question, partially because this was exactly my struggle when I was early on in my business. And to answer this question, I thought maybe I would just tell a little bit about my journey, actually tell my like trajectory of my career. And in doing so, I am going to answer your question in kind of a roundabout way, but I get asked, I truly get a similar questions like this so often of like, how did you go from, you know, being a teacher, being a classroom teacher, to having a location independent business, living in Portugal, working with these like amazing clients. And so what I'd like to do today is tell that a little bit of that story. I'm not going to go as deep as I could, but give it at a high level. And then I'll try to touch on some points that were really mindset shifters and helped open me up to big opportunities. So, as I said, I started right out of college as a high school language arts teacher. I should say a couple things. One, I was not qualified to be a teacher. I had a bachelor's in writing, but I had never taught before. I did not have any formal training as a teacher. Thankfully, I am enterprising. And so I read, I studied, I learned, and I was able to come in and teach, not only to be a teacher, but to actually be the head of the high school language arts program during an accreditation process, which meant I had to create curriculum maps. I didn't even know what that was when I got that job. So it was a lot of work. But before that, I should say a couple of things that I think are really important to know about me, and I think are kind of surprising to people when they learn about my background. So before college, I was a very bad student, but not because I wasn't smart, not because I wasn't capable. Looking back, I think I had a lot of anxiety, and I didn't know, like, I didn't recognize what that was. And so I was the kid that would like do the homework, but I would never turn it in. So I would have completed or partially completed homework in a notebook, but I would never hand it into the teacher. And so as a result of that, the first couple of years of high school, I was failing classes. I had a very low GPA. I got benched from my varsity team. No, I didn't actually get benched, but I almost got benched because of grades. And was essentially on like academic probation for my varsity volleyball team. And I eventually had something that caused me to turn all of that around. And I became a very like diligent student, ended up graduating high school early. I had a full-time job while a lot of my friends were still in high school. I ended up working in some different professional settings to pay for college. I worked at a bank, which gave tuition reimbursement during college. I did an internship with a beloved, now it was a beloved mentor at the time. She was my boss, became a mentor, and is now a dear friend. So I had a lot of experience in the professional world before I ever like went into a full-time job as a teacher. So I learned pretty quickly as a teacher that I loved the people, the kids, but I really struggled with the fact that all this extra work that I put in, I would never see anything more out of the job other than, of course, the results of the students. And that was very motivating for me. It was the only real motivating thing for me in that job. But I wanted to have a life that was freer, that I had more choice, and that I had more control financially, so that when I did put in those extra hours or work really hard, that I was going to get to see the financial reward of that. And so while I was a teacher, I started my business. And in the beginning, I had this idea of being a travel writer. Actually, I had this idea of translating English for businesses. I don't know. It's kind of silly now that I think about it. But at the time, I thought it was this brilliant idea. I called my business Freelance Expat. And so as businesses do, I failed at things. I evolved. I grew my business. We moved to Vietnam. I decided to go to graduate school while we were in Vietnam, still growing my business on the side. And I set a goal for myself to, alongside applying to graduate school, which is like a massive effort, I set a goal of sending out 30 query letters in 30 days. Now, if anybody's ever written a query letter, it takes several hours to write one. So this was a massive effort. It was a huge effort. And 29 of those got no response, but one of them did get a response. And I was invited to ghostwrite part of a book for a university class. And it was just like, I think it was a chapter or two chapters of this book. And I, of course, I'm leaving out a lot of little details that kind of enabled me to get there. I was I was at a writing internship in my writing program, so I did have a background in writing. And that opportunity was very encouraging for me. That relationship eventually led to writing my first book many years later. They were the ones that came to me and offered me a, I'm going to give quote unquote book deal, because it wasn't like, you know, a bunch of money or like a very fancy offer, but I did get an opportunity to write a book and have somebody, you know, do the pay, like pay for the production, pay me a small amount, and really help with promotion and selling of the book. So I got this opportunity and I got into graduate school around the same time. In graduate school, I got an assistantship. So if anyone listening is not familiar with how this works in graduate school, when you get an assistantship, typically that means you get your a small stipend, not really even a salary. It's like a stipend plus very cheap health insurance. I think I paid like $900 a semester, and then you get your tuition paid for. So I had some time between my job in Vietnam and graduate school starting. So we left our jobs. We came back to the U.S. We had about 5 months. And I told my husband, who was my fiance at the time, like, I don't want to go find a job right now. I lived with my parents at the time. I moved in with my parents for that 5 month period. And I said, let me just try. Let me just give this a good go. Let me see if I can make this business work. And so I threw everything I had into the business and really leaned into that business. And by the time I went to grad school, 5-ish months later, we also got married along the way and all kinds of fun life things. My business was pretty successful already. I was getting new clients. I wasn't having to look for work. I was busy, and it was just a matter of managing that alongside graduate school, which was a lot of work, but very, very rewarding for me. Along the way, I think one of the things that I'll pull out of this, because this is like the early time of building my business, which I think does relate to this question pretty well. The thing that I leaned into early was like, I said yes to nearly everything. Now I do not do that. I'm really mindful about projects that I best align with, projects that are really connected to my values. I didn't take anything out of alignment with my values back then, but now I have such clarity around the kind of people I want to work with, the kind of books I want to work on. Back then, I just took everything. And around that time, I was presented with an opportunity to help start a regional magazine. And I was offered the position of managing editor of this magazine, which when I got that offer, I remember like, I was not happy. I was panicked. I remember thinking like, what? Like, what does a managing editor even do? How do I do this job? And the reason I even got that offer is that I put myself out there. I was looking for opportunities. I reached out to this person that was starting a publication and I asked, like I put my name in the hat, and that's what I did so often in those early years. I still actually do that a lot. All the time. I put my name in, I apply for things, I put in for things. It's been a theme all along the way of like, if I see something I want to do, I'm going to put my name in, I'm going to reach out to the person, I'm going to try. And so long story short, I ended up helping co-found that magazine and run it as managing editor. There's a whole story there I will not get into right now. I was able to leverage that portfolio and this publication where I had my picture, my letter from the editor, front of the magazine, beautifully produced magazine. Later on, with a individual that I started working with, I worked with this really wonderful naturopathic doctor and his business partner, who is a Nobel Prize winner in medicine, and did a bunch of work with them, really loved working with them, and eventually got an opportunity to work on the Sam's Club magazine. Sam's Club at the time had a healthy living magazine that was distributed to 11 million readers at the time. And I started as a proofreader and eventually worked my way up to executive editor of that publication. Along the way, I also ghostwrote a book for that Nobel Prize winner, wrote a ton of content, helped produce videos, helped launch an international campaign for a product. I did so many things that were so new to me and that I had never, I'd never done it. I didn't have the experience going in, but I've always had this innate belief in my ability to figure things out. I am at my core a problem solver, and I think most entrepreneurs are. I think most of us, when we go into being business owners, we are inherently disciplined problem solvers. And I think that also that inherent belief in my own personal ability to achieve what I set out to do, I've always held that firmly. Doesn't mean I haven't had a lot of negative self-talk and self-doubt that's come up along the way. But at the end of the day, if you ask me, do I believe in my ability to do hard things? I would say unequivocally, yes, 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 yes. And so those opportunities came up, and I think they're really important to point to. Again, I put my name in, I reached out, I networked, I, you know, went for opportunities. I said yes to different opportunities that felt so big and so crazy. I wrote my first book around this time. I ghostwrote my first book. I worked with the, you know, this other book that I mentioned with this Nobel Prize winner in medicine. And I had all these really big and exciting things happening. It was terrifying in a lot of ways. But what I learned from that is that I have to give myself the opportunity to be given, not given the, I don't love that word, to meet the opportunity. Like I have to make my own opportunity, essentially. I have to put my name in. I have to be in the room. I need to meet the people. And then when I do get those opportunities and I do have those projects that lend themselves as, like, I call them big rocks, big rock things. They're things that I can now hold up and say, look, this is a proof point of my work. Then I could leverage those to open up many other opportunities that came my way. From there, and I am going to loop back to that question of like, how do you build into the space of like best-selling work when you don't have it? Like it just feels so tricky. I'm going to finish this little trajectory. I'm going to do it a little quicker than the first part because I think some of the latter part is a little bit less interesting, at least to me, because it's, to me, it's kind of business as usual. It's like businesses evolve and change. After those opportunities, I did a lot of book editing. I did that for like 7 or 8 years. That's the book that I wrote that I published in 2013 was on book editing. I ghostwrote a bunch of books. I started coaching because I was able to learn systems, not learn systems, develop systems with the work that I was doing. So I was able to start teaching other people how to write and how to write books. And so that's what I do today. I coach authors. I have a team that ghostwrites. And I really come in on those ghostwriting projects as a strategic advisor, as an expert, not only on books, but in book positioning and alignment with your big vision and marketing goals and all of that. And then I really interestingly kind of lean into my roots as a teacher through the coaching work that I do. So I still get to teach and guide people often in cohort, like almost like classroom style online, but also one-on-one. And that's like, you know, fast forwarding another set of years because it's been 14 years now since I first started my business in the Dominican Republic. To that question of like, how do I build up that portfolio? I think it's a lot of what I think leads to success is really that discipline and consistency of continuing to show up and do the work. You know, that's kind of a baseline. The other piece of it is really about like leveraging your successes that you have, those projects that are proof points that do demonstrate what you're great at and what you can be great at. Like it's those things that you've done that demonstrate your future possibility, like really leveraging those well. The other piece is really good networking. I am a relationships person. I care about people. I love nurturing relationships. And so along all of these different periods of my life, I have really focused on not for, not relationship building, like networking for personal gain per se, but really forming relationships with people where we can mutually support each other, where we can help each other achieve the goals that the other person has. And sometimes that's very directly and very connected in a close friendship. Sometimes that's looser in like a secondary or tertiary connection I have with somebody, but we kind of touch base every so often. But I think that piece has been incredibly, incredibly important. And then the other piece, like, again, not to be repetitive, but just like going for things. I mean, there's so many different ways. Let's look at ghostwriting in particular. There are ghostwriting marketplaces that you can join. Readsy is a good example, where you can have a profile on there and people can reach out to you for opportunities. There are ghostwriting, council is not the right word. Like association type things where you can sign up for lists to be on. An example is Gotham Ghostwriters. Now, that's not a list you can just freely join. They have an application process. You have to be a qualified, demonstrated ghostwriter. But I went through that application process. I met with them. I did an interview. I'm now on their list. Same with Readsy. I went through all their vetting process. I have a profile on Readsy. Recently in my own work, I am working on book number 18. So the other ones that I've either ghostwritten or co-authored, 17 of those, and I'm working on book 18. I reached out to agents. I put the book proposal together. I made an effort to meet with the agent that I want to work with when I was in New York. I'm talking about it right now. Like, those efforts, when you have that clarity of vision, you know where you want to get, like look for where you can create your own opportunity. I talked about this in a recent solo episode. So this is a little bit of a touchback on the Live from New York episode I did recently. But this, I think it's so easy to be a passive entrepreneur, a passive ghostwriter, a passive solopreneur. But to truly reach that meaningful success, to achieve those big things you want to do, you have to be so active and you have to create your own opportunity. You cannot rely on other people to bestow opportunity upon you, to give you the opportunity. You have to go for it. You have to apply for it. You have to connect for it. You have to write it. You have to do those things. The other last very like tangible specific point I'm going to give that I do think has been a major game changer for me is that I have my own books out as well. So I have my own book with my singular name on it. I have a co-authored book out as well. And then even if you look me up on Amazon, I'm in a couple of other books as a contributor. Even my name is found in some books because I'm so blessed to work with beautiful, amazing people that will sometimes write about me in their books as they're working on them. So that producing your own work, whether it's a book or a social media account or a newsletter or blogs, some kind of content creation out into the world. If you want to be successful as a writer, as somebody that will be seen at a certain level, you have to show up. You have to show up in all of your fullness. And that means showing up at that level that you want to be seen as. And that could mean, again, getting a little more specific, that could mean updating your website, LinkedIn profile, getting new headshots, and it could mean creating content. That has been a huge business evolution for me. So back to my story, a major evolution for me was going from solopreneur to solopreneur with an assistant to entrepreneur with a team. That has been a massive mindset shift. It's been very meaningful. It's been hard sometimes because it's totally new and different. But that piece has been a big part of my own personal transformation and growth. What allowed me to get here where I am today is continually pushing myself to show up the way I want to be, not just how I am. Of course, I want to do that authentically, but also the way that I guess as the person that I'm aspiring to be. So really stepping into that future self and embodying her, her confidence, her success, and showing up that way in all the different ways that I show up online, whether it's on this podcast, on my website, in my newsletter, on social, in a client interaction, in an in-person interaction, all of that, I really try to embody my belief in myself and the future that I'm creating for myself and for my family. And I really believe for the world, because of the work that I get to do. It's not me, it's the people I get to serve and support that are truly changing the world. So there's, like, to me, there's this big, beautiful mission behind it. That was a little longer than I planned, but still a little bit shorter than our typical episode. I love that question. I think you could tell I could keep talking probably for a full hour today. I hope that was helpful. If you have a question, you're listening to this and you're like, oh, I'm so curious about this, maybe about something book related, writing related, location independence, travel, any of these things, business, solopreneurship, any of the items that I talked about today or something totally different, you can send your question in to hello@stacyennis.com. I really love hearing from you. I love answering your questions. And if you are still here today, I would like to ask you a favor, a really important favor. If you like this podcast, which I hope you do if you're still listening, would you please take a moment to leave a 5-star rating and a positive review of this podcast? It makes a massive difference in my ability to reach more people with the message of living a life that is beyond better. Thank you, as always, this week to Rita Dominguez for her amazing production support. She makes this show possible, enables me to get this out every single week to you. And thank you to Catherine Fishman for project support. I will be back with you before you know it.
You can always access show notes, including any links mentioned in this episode, at stacyennis.com/podcast. And you can connect with me at stacyennis.com, on Instagram at stacyennis, or on Facebook at stacyenniscreative. Thank you so much for joining me this week. Here's to building lives that are beyond better.